All right, we got a lot of stuff to go through. We got a lot of scriptures, some 75. You're going to be saturated with the Word of God today. Food don't start till 4:30 for the Awana Grand Prix, so I got plenty of time, so don't worry about that. All right, so when we talk about growing spiritually, growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord, this is spiritual growth. We do that by walking in the Spirit. And just like a child, you got to learn to crawl before you can stand and then walk and run. And we do that same principle spiritually. And as we talk about being perfected by the Spirit, we should understand who the Holy Spirit is. I think the third person of the Trinity, and I say person because the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. I hear that a lot of times. Well, it's going to do that. It's not an it. It's a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And I don't think we really understand him as well as we should. Matter of fact, I think he's probably the most neglected person of the Trinity that there is. So as we come to the portion where we go from the flesh to the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, we ought to understand the Spirit before we get to those aspects. So we're talking about fruit bearing today, and let me just show you the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now stick with me, I'll run through this just a little quickly so we can get through all of it. But in Job 33:4, it talks about the very breath of the Almighty. That's who the Spirit is, the very breath of the Almighty. Hebrews 9, verse 14, he is the eternal Spirit. He is called in Psalm 51:12, the generous Spirit. In Psalm 143, verse 10, he is called the good Spirit. In Psalm 51:11, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, and many of the New Testament passages, he is called the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Christ. He is actually the Spirit of life itself. He is called in Hebrews 10, the Spirit of grace. In Isaiah 11:2, he is called the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, might, understanding, knowledge, fear, and that relates to worship. In John chapter 14 and 15, he is called the Spirit of truth. In Romans 1, he is the Spirit of holiness. In 1 Peter 4, he is called the Spirit of glory. Revelation 1, he is the sevenfold Spirit, which is actually repeating the designation from Isaiah chapter 11. In John 14 and 15, again, he is the comforter, the one who comes alongside to be our helper. And in Luke 1:35, he is called the power of the highest. So all those designations are for God. And since the Holy Spirit is God, the third person, those designations are characteristics that identify him. And so the word Spirit from the Hebrew and Greek, both of them are the same. Ruach from the Hebrew and then pneuma from the Greek. And they both mean this, air in motion. They are air in motion. In John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus says, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so air or wind is powerful, very powerful. You can't see it, it's invisible, but you can see its effects. Like a tornado, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it and the dust and everything it's stirring up and hurricanes. Wind is very powerful. That's pneuma, the Greek word for spirit. So where we get our English word pneumatic from, pneumatic tools, all you guys out there, air tools, right? NASCAR fans, you know those guys can take those tires around. Zin, 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 zin. That's air in motion. That's power. That's power, the same thing. The power to give life, also the power to destroy. That's where we get our English word pneumonia from. Has to deal with the lungs, has to deal with air. It gives life, it can also take life. Pneumonia is a very destructive thing that kills a lot of people. Air in motion. We see it's powerful. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, pneuma, air in motion, think about power. Think of him in terms of power, energy in motion. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. So how much power does he have? Well, let's talk about that. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Moses writes this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath, air in motion, of life. And man became a living soul. How powerful is he? He's so powerful that he can take the dust of the ground and make a living person out of it. Amen? Psalm 33, verse 6 says this: "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." He just spoke it into existence. "And all of the host of them by the breath," that's air and motion, "the breath of his mouth. By the Spirit of God, all things were created." That's energy and motion. That's power. In Micah 3:8, he understood that. He said this: "But truly I am full of power." Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord, he had power. And this is what Jesus told the disciples right before he left. He's like, "When I give you the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen?" In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You will receive" what? Power. You're going to receive power. Why? Because you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is power. He's power himself, right? Even Jesus, listen, Jesus himself was filled with the Holy Spirit to be used in a powerful way. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He goes on to say in verse 14 this: "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Isn't that amazing? So if we are commanded to walk like Jesus walked, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the NLT says it this way: "Those who say they live in God, they should live their life just as Jesus did." How did Jesus live his life? He was filled, he was led, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that exactly what Paul tells us? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says that we are to be what? Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, if you're there, what does he say there? Walk in the Spirit. It's amazing. And that gives us evidence that we have the Holy Spirit. We have power within us. Romans 8, 14. That's what Paul says. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to know it. Amen? You're going to know that you're a child of God. Because you're doing the things that are obedient to God's commands, and it gives us assurance. And this is what Paul instructed us to do in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 18. Paul says this: "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." So when we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we're talking about the power of God. How much power? The power to create, the power to give life, the power to reveal, the power to search the deep things of God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the power to give new birth, you're born again by the power of the Spirit, the power to resurrect from the dead, the power to glorify, that's power. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, by definition, he's power, air in motion, energy, power. We got a lot to go over, so let's open with a word of prayer. We'll get into our study. Greg Pugh, you want to open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get into our stuff. Amen. Thank you. So Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He says this: "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the" what? "Power that works in us." What is the power? Who is the power? The Holy Spirit, right? If you're a child of God, Jesus said, "I will give you the Holy Spirit." When he comes upon you, when he indwells you, you're going to have power. Amen? All right, so we know that the Holy Spirit who is in us is powerful. We have that power. And God is able to do far above what we think that we can do. Because if he's doing it through us, he can do a lot of stuff. Amen? So in Ephesians 2:10, Paul says this: "You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, right? New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." So you are God's, that Greek word is poema. It's a poem. You are God's beautiful poem at salvation. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You're created for good works, which God prepared in eternity past that we should walk in doing good. Amen? Okay, so what happens is, Philippians 1:6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is going to complete it until the day of Christ. You say, well, what is that work? What is that good work? What is he going to complete? What is going on here? Well, the whole point of this is so God can make us look more like Jesus. That's through the sanctification process, so that we can bear fruit for the kingdom and give God glory. Amen? Now, you'd say fruit for the kingdom. What's this fruit about? Well, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, the NLT says it this way. This is God talking. He says, I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. So fruit comes from God. We see that God is the source of fruit. And we'll see that as we go along. So God gives us a picture here with a spiritual application. And in that sense, you could say that God living out the godly life through a believer produces spiritual fruit for the kingdom. And in Psalm, not only do we see this in the Old Testament, but the New Testament and the Old Testament, both, all these pictures are clearly seen. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, we see that same picture. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves to meditate on God's word day and night. He loves to be saturated with the word of God, as I talk about. In verse 3, he goes on to say this. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. I love that because it talks about how a believer who is rooted in the word of God, living out by the power of the Spirit, is going to produce fruit. We talk about the Holy Spirit. He is pictured many ways in the Bible. One is a dove, one is oil, and one here in this passage, he's pictured as water. Water is another way that is pictured of the Holy Spirit. And here, the Holy Spirit gives fruit because he's the source of fruit. God is the source of fruit. You remember in Matthew 13, we talk about the parable of the soils. And there's four soils there, and we know that Jesus explaining it said that the word of God was the seed. And when the word finds good soil, according to Matthew 13, verse 23, he says this, as for the word of God that's sown on good soil, this is the one who hears it, he understands it, and then he goes and bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. So as a believer, walking, being led, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to produce fruit. Right? And that's one of the reasons why Jesus died and was raised from the dead, so that we bear fruit. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. There you go. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? It's at hand. He's like, here you go. He died, rose again the third day, and he's like, okay, I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power. Go and bear fruit for the kingdom. Amen? That's why he died. That's why he was resurrected. Philippians 1, verse 11, Paul says this, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I don't want to try to overwhelm you with all this stuff. What I'm trying to do is put all the pieces together. The Bible is like a puzzle. It's a beautiful puzzle. And when you get the foundation, the flat pieces, you know, the edge pieces, and then you can just start filling in all the other pieces in the middle. When you begin to do that, you get like a section, you know, and you got the same color, you put that section and you find a piece that's connected to the outside and the foundation. That's all I'm doing, man. That's all I'm trying to do is just put together the pieces. Because when you see how it fits all together, it's amazing. It's a beautiful picture. So you know that our whole purpose as a Christian is to what? Give God glory. Awesome. You could say 1 Corinthians 10:31, 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'm going to add another one. And this is what we do. All you're doing is adding another building block on top of each other. So when we talk about giving God glory, we give God glory by producing fruit. 1 Corinthians 10:31, in everything you do, give God glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20, in your body, give God glory. And now we're going to see, hey, if you want to give God glory, bear fruit for the kingdom. That's the whole idea. And we produce fruit by being led in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to produce fruit for the kingdom. And that's going to give God glory. Amen? And this is exactly what Jesus did. In Acts 10:38, Peter says this, "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." And then Jesus went around doing good, right? If we're to live our life just like Jesus did, if we're going to walk like Jesus did, we better be walking in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Colossians 1:10 this, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord." Right? There's only one. Remember Revelation chapter 5? Who is worthy, O Lord? Right? It was only Jesus. He was the only one to receive all honor, power, glory, everything. So Paul says, walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not worthy of him, but he darn sure is worthy of our worship. Amen? Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. How? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You can't forget the increasing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And you do that by being saturated with the Word of God. That's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." In James 3:17, he says this, "But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good what? Fruit." God desires that we bear fruit. In John chapter 15, we see one of Jesus' famous I am statements. He said, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches." And that's what the believers are. In John 15, verse 4, he says this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." There's a lot there, and I won't get into it. But if you take a branch off of a vine and you break it off, it'll never grow fruit. It has to remain in that vine. And we're not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about being saturated with the Word of God. If you are not so intensely meditating on the Word of God day and night, you're not going to bear fruit. You can't come in on Sunday morning and just listen to me yammer on for a half hour, or this morning 2.5 hours, but and then expect to go out into the world and give God glory, being a light to darkness and bear fruit. It's got to be nonstop. You got to be saturated with the Word of God. So since God is the source of fruit, we walk in Him, we're saturated, growing in knowledge and grace of Him, then we can go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and bear fruit. In verse 8 of John 15, Jesus says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Isn't that amazing? Bearing fruit gives God glory, and it shows evidence that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says this, listen to this, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." You ain't bearing fruit, it's cutting you out. You are bearing fruit, he's going to prune you so you bear more fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. You may not bear as much fruit as somebody else, but you're going to bear fruit, and then he's going to prune you so you bear even more fruit. Amen? There's a progression there. There's always a progression. Those are the steps that we take as we walk in the Spirit. And we begin to understand more and more about who God is. And as we grow in knowledge and grace of His Son, we're going to look more and more like Jesus as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to produce fruit. And more fruit, which is for the kingdom of God. And it gives Him glory. So if God wants us to produce fruit, then the question is going to be this, okay? If I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm being filled with the Spirit, I want to give God glory, I have a desire to do that, what is the fruit like? What fruit? So we bear fruit for the kingdom. What is the fruit? Well, let me give you a little bit about this. As you go through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're submitting to His power. You give Him control. You're going to produce fruit. He's going to be glorified. And you ask the question, what fruit am I going to produce? Well, just like the flesh, this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's just an idea. As you dive into the scripture, you'll find these things out. I'm not going to give you all of them, but here's a few of them. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says this, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. This passage actually has twofold application for fruit. Number one, giving thanks. Giving thanks. And number two, praise or worship, whichever one you want to say there. That is a fruit. Do you know when we come in here, we do things for 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God is a God of order. He does things in an orderly fashion, and so do we. And what we do is we come in here, we want to praise and worship, we want to magnify the name of God, because that bears fruit. It bears fruit for the kingdom. And we want to give thanks. Amen? When you give thanks to God, that's bearing fruit. There's a lot of people in the Bible. You see in 1 Timothy and Romans, it says they were unthankful. Amen? Giving thanks is bearing fruit, and it gives God glory. Praise and worship, that's a fruit, and it gives God glory. Why do we come in to do this stuff? It's not just to hear us sing, because you darn sure don't want to hear me sing. That's why we don't have a lot of people on Wednesday night. I scare them off with my singing. That's one way that you give God glory. Magnifying, praising His holy name. He alone is worthy. And that's going to honor Him, and you're going to bear fruit. Romans 15, verse 26 through 28, Paul says this, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. That contribution was financial. Therefore, when I had performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, he's talking about a gift that they gave to him. They gave him a financial gift, and he called it a fruit. So we see that giving financially is a fruit. Amen? It's a fruit for the kingdom. And it gives God glory. It's amazing. Matthew 3:8. John the Baptist said, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. This is an important one. This is true repentance. What do I mean by true repentance? True repentance is this. If you're going to tell me that you're sorry, don't tell me, show me. Amen? If you do something and you say, oh, I'm sorry, and then you go do the same thing again, you're not sorry, are you? So you need to show me something that's worthy of your true repentance. You want to say you're sorry? Show me. There's a big difference there. And that's what John the Baptist is trying to say. So we see that true repentance is a fruit. True repentance. Romans 1:13, Paul says this. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you, but I was hindered until now that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. So what is that talking about? He was talking about that he went to the Jew first for salvation. They rejected him and his message. So he went on to the Gentiles, and he began to see a lot of people saved. So he said, I haven't been to Rome yet, but I want to come, and I want to bear fruit on you guys. I want to see some souls saved. Soul winning. Soul winning is a fruit. Amen? You ever bear fruit in soul winning? You ever saw somebody come to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation? If you ain't bearing fruit, what are you doing for the kingdom? That's the whole purpose of our Christianity, is to give God glory. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. The ESV says it this way. But now that you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves of God, remember, you're the slaves of one of two things. You're either a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you're a slave to Christ, which leads to eternal life. One of the two. So now that you're a slave of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. You're led of the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You have the power of the Holy Spirit doing things through you. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to look more and more like Jesus. That's the sanctification process. And it'll give God glory. And in the end, when you get glorified, when you get a glorified body, it'll be eternal life. Amen? Sanctification. That is the process. The sanctification process is a fruit. That's a fruit. Looking more and more like Jesus. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 11. The ESV says this. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Okay? So if you're light in the Lord, then you should walk as children of light. Here's the fruit of light. What is the fruit? It's threefold. It's found in all that is good, all that is right, and all that is true. Trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Don't participate in stuff that doesn't produce fruit. Now, you're not going to be free of sin. Amen? Amen? We know that. That's where grace comes in. I'm so thankful for grace. I'm a miserable junk, ridiculous, don't you repeat it, but I know what I am, and I praise God for His grace, because that covers so much. And anybody that says that they don't sin, it's simply not true. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and the truth is not in us. So I know what I am. So you could kind of say it this way. We are, at this moment in our sinful flesh, we are both righteous and sinful at the same time until we get our glorified body. Amen? But we're characterized in this body by fruit that we bear, much fruit. And the fruit, it's going to be there because the Holy Spirit is doing a work. If you're led of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, it's going to be doing a work and you're going to be giving God glory. And there's going to be fruit. And fruit is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us. The fruit is proof of our salvation. You want to say you're saved? Prove it. Show me your fruit. Well, I don't do anything for God. Oh, really? Well, why not? Because God did a whole lot for you if you're saved. And you're going to produce fruit. Otherwise, he'll just pluck you out as one of those branches and you'll be done. Jesus said that branch is cast into the fire. See, you must not have said, repeating that prayer after somebody is not making a commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen? Be careful of having somebody just repeat the prayer you're about to tell them. Right? It's a commitment. Just like a marriage. You don't just just repeat these vows and you're golden. Well, a lot of people go right out and they just get their annulled marriage. Oh, I just woke up drunk. I was married to somebody next day and we're just going to get rid of those vows. That's what a lot of people do with Jesus too. It's a commitment. Lifelong. Because God will never divorce you. So, now, listen. We'll get back into this. Fruit is going to show that you have true repentance and salvation. Matthew 7, verse 15 through 17, Jesus says this. Beware of false prophets. We're talking about false prophets, verse 15. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They will know, or you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Bushes? Man, I tell you what. I can't even talk today. Thank you. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. There's the grace. Time change. I was up early today. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18 through 20, Jesus goes on to say, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit, Jesus says, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you'll know them. He's talking about false teachers for sure. And he identifies them in verse 15. But he goes on to say in verse 21 to 23 this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And he says, then I will say to him, I'll declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Remember, we were talking about the sins of the flesh, the fleshly things, those that practice such things. This is on a regular basis. A child of God at salvation is a new creation. You are not the same old. We have sinful flesh and we do sin. I get that. God gets it. But that's why he died for us, paying the penalty. And that's why he gave us his Holy Spirit, because now you got power. You have power to change your life. All you got to do is tap into it. And this is why we have the fruit of the Spirit. And I know I said all that just to get to this and we're out of time. But in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, we'll wrap it up with this. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Nine fruits, actually it's fruit because it's singular, so that one fruit is going to produce all these things. Now, this is an attitude inwardly, and then it's expressed outwardly. Matter of fact, the first three deal with the inner man. The last six deal with other people. And you could wrap all of those things up in the two greatest commandments. Loving God and loving others. See, when you're doing that, you're going to produce fruit. You're going to produce that fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. When you're loving, in 2 Corinthians 8:8, Paul says, I'm testing the genuineness of your faith. If you love Jesus, you'll give to him. Guess what? That's a fruit, right? All that stuff is wrapped up. It's your attitude which produces your actions. If you don't have the right attitude, you won't have the right action. Amen? Paul says, if you love the Lord, you're going to give to him. It's going to bear fruit. Fruit for the kingdom. We see in Ephesians 2:10, we're created to do good works. Goodness. We'll get to these sometime, probably after Easter. We got ask the pastor next week, and then we'll move into the trek of Easter. And I got 3 weeks to Easter, and then we'll move on after that. We'll get back into it. But this is a precursor, man. Ephesians 2:10, we were created to do good works. That helps us with our goodness, because that deals with other people. And we need God's love and grace when dealing with other people. Amen? So the fruit of the Spirit is an attitude that we deal with inwardly, and then that gives us right action outwardly. So when you have the right attitude, you'll have the right action, which in the power of the Spirit will make you look more like Jesus, and that will give God glory, and you will produce fruit for the kingdom, which is the whole purpose of a Christian. Amen? All we're doing is just adding pieces to the puzzle, and we're putting together. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. As we walk in him, as you are led in him, as you are filled with him, you have 100% of the, you have the divine nature within you. Tap into it. Fruit comes from a tree. You could say our life is like a tree. Does your tree bear fruit at all? And if it does, is that fruit good or bad? Because you can tell what kind of a tree it is based off of the fruit. And Jesus said, you'll know my disciples if you bear good fruit. What does your fruit look like? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message this morning. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just want to put these pieces together as we continue to grow in knowledge and grace of your Son, being filled, led, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to give you glory in everything we do, which is bearing fruit for the kingdom. And so that magnifies and honors you, God, and that's what we want to do. In all that we do, Father, we just pray that we continue to show us through the Holy Spirit and in his power, allow us to do good works for the kingdom. Lord, I pray if someone here this morning, maybe they don't know if they're a child of God. Maybe they don't know that the Holy Spirit is in them. The Bible says that you can know for sure that you have heaven and eternal life. God, don't let them leave this morning without knowing for a surety, if death was to come to call upon them, that they would have eternal life. Because your word says you can know. And for your church, God, I pray that it would just encourage them to grow in knowledge and grace of your Son, allowing the Spirit to have control of their life, the power of the Spirit, being filled, being led, walking in the Spirit, so that they can give you glory in all the fruits that they're bearing for the kingdom. Lord, whatever your desire is, we pray that you just have your way in this invitation. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.